Good evening. This is Russ Werner, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and tonight's host of Sports Today, the one-hour-long show that airs every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This edition is for Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. We are going to start off tonight with some NFL football news, first from the Arizona Cardinals camp. Cardinals 30, Patriots 17. Cards take care of business. End the losing streak, return to 500 and the playoff chase. This is by Theo Mackey of the Arizona Republic. After three straight losses, Sunday was a welcome reprieve for the Cardinals. It took just one drive for their first points, two drives for their first touchdown, and three quarters to drive Patriots fans from State Farm Stadium, the final result already beyond doubt. With a 30-17 win over New England, the Cardinals moved to 7-7 and returned to the win column after over a month of losing ways. Now here's what we learned in the victory. Cardinals showed resilience. Note the Patriots are not very good, but the Cardinals were coming off a three-game losing streak with their playoff hopes likely gone. Last week, their motor was insufficient, in Jonathan Gannon's words. Considering those circumstances, there was a legitimate question as to whether the Cardinals would be visibly deflated on Sunday. They played, though, like a team that believes it's still fighting for a playoff spot. Consider their first touchdown, which came when right tackle Jonah Williams athletically chased down a fumble in the end zone, preventing a turnover and putting 6 points on the board. That was a pure effort play, and it spoke to a team that has been well-trained to not lie down, even when its season may effectively be over. Next, Kyler Murray's string of questionable decision-making continued. Murray did not officially throw an interception on Sunday, snapping a stretch of 5 interceptions in 3 games since the bye. His recklessness with the football, though, continued. On one third-quarter play, Murray did well in evading a sack, but then tried to shot-put a pass to Michael Wilson that was easily intercepted. The pick was negated by a roughing-the-passer penalty against New England, but it was another example of Murray not making smart decisions. Much of Murray's recent struggles have come under pressure, something the Patriots were unable to consistently generate on Sunday. While that lack of a pass rush helped Murray and the Cardinals' offense, his questionable decision-making still reared its head. The interception was the most egregious moment, but he also repeatedly tried to pass to Marvin Harrison Jr. in tight coverage and escaped clean pockets, leading to wasted offensive plays. Now the run game was impressive. With a weaker opponent in the building after three straight difficult matches, the Cardinals' run game once again shone. James Conner finished with 110 yards on 16 carries, and Murray added 11 yards on 5 attempts. The Cardinals averaged 5.1 yards per carry and finished with 163 rushing yards, their most since Week 9. It wasn't just the final yardage, but how the Cardinals got there. Conner dominated with his bruising style. Trey Benson continued the growth that has defined his rookie season, although he exited late with an ankle injury. Murray got more involved than he has been in recent weeks, and even Greg Dortch had an effective jet sweep before the fumble that Williams recovered for a touchdown. The highlight, though, came in the first quarter when Conner took a counterplay 53 yards down the left sideline, sprung by a nice block from Harrison Jr. Speaking of Harrison, he played better than his 2-catch, 32-yard stat line would indicate. He had a 14-yard catch on a comeback route brought back when the Cardinals accepted a defensive penalty. Later, he beat Christian Gonzalez, one of the league's better corners, on a fade route, but couldn't convert it into a touchdown on a contested catch attempt. Now, Cardinals' pass defense was excellent. Last week, Cardinals' corners struggled mightily against Seattle, a rare poor performance in an encouraging season for that group. On Sunday, against a far less imposing group of Patriots receivers, the Cardinals' pass defense once again impressed. Rookie quarterback Drake May finished with just 202 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Neither nickel Garrett Williams nor outside corner Max Melton, two key young pieces, was charged with allowing a reception per Pro Football Focus. Again, the performance came against an offense devoid of much talent, but it was nonetheless a welcome response from the Cardinals' young secondary. Now finally, Cardinals' season is still alive. The Cardinals still need significant help to make the playoffs, but Sunday's win kept their hopes alive. If they can win out against the Panthers, Rams, and 49ers, they would need the Seahawks to drop three of their final four games. Given that Seattle has Minnesota and the Rams among their final four games, that's not impossible. For the Cardinals, the schedule gets harder from here. Even the 3-11 Panthers should pose more of a test than the Patriots mustered on Sunday, but at least that game will have meaning. Their next game will be this coming Sunday, December 22nd, at the Carolina Panthers at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. And now around the rest of the NFL with the NFL Roundup. Start with the Cowboys 30, Panthers 14. Cooper Rush threw for two of his three touchdowns in the third quarter as the Dallas Cowboys pulled away from the Carolina Panthers in a 30-14 victory at Charlotte. CeeDee Lamb had 116 receiving yards on nine catches with a touchdown, and Rico Dowdle rushed for a career-high 149 yards on 35 carries for Dallas, who is 6-8, which is trying to stay in playoff contention. Brandon Aubrey kicked three field goals. The Cowboys recovered from a potential devastating turn of events late in the first half. Panthers quarterback Bryce Young committed three of his four turnovers, two interceptions, and a pair of fumbles in the game's first 31 minutes. He threw for 219 yards on 19-for-28 passing, but Carolina, at 3-11, lost its fourth consecutive game. Young ran for a fourth-quarter touchdown. Next, Chiefs 21, Browns 7. Patrick Mahomes threw for a pair of touchdowns before injuring his ankle as Kansas City Chiefs beat the host Cleveland Browns 21-7. Mahomes completed 19 of 38 passes for 159 yards, but had to be replaced by veteran signal caller Carson Wentz after getting caught up under Cleveland defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson's with 7:57 left in the game. Kansas City, at 13-1, had already built its 21-7 lead at the time, so it is unknown if Mahomes really was unable to continue playing or if the change under center was simply precautionary. Now, Texans 20, Dolphins 12. C.J. Stroud threw two touchdown passes to Nico Collins, and the Houston Texans moved closer to the AFC South title with a 20-12 victory over the visiting Miami Dolphins on Sunday afternoon. Will Anderson Jr. forced a turnover with a key strip sack. Derek Stringley Jr. recorded two interceptions. And Kalen Bullock also had a pick for Houston, who was 9-5. The Texans can clinch the division crown later Sunday if the Indianapolis Colts lose to the Denver Broncos. Tua Tagovailoa completed 29 of 40 passes for 196 yards and one touchdown for Miami, but he lost a fumble and also matched his career worst of three interceptions. Tagovailoa had thrown just one pick over his last seven games. Now, Jets 32, Jaguars 25. Breece Hall ran for a one-yard touchdown with 1:05 left as the visiting New York Jets rallied in the fourth quarter for a 32-25 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hall's run capped a 70-yard drive that featured two critical connections between Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Williams. The duo hooked up for third-down hits of 23 and 41 yards that got the ball just shy of the end zone, teeing up Hall's winning score. Rodgers finished 16 of 30 passing for 289 yards and three scores, finding Adams nine times in the second half for 198 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Now, Commanders 20, Saints 19. Jaden Daniels threw two touchdown passes to Terry McLaurin, and the visiting Washington Commanders held on to defeat the New Orleans Saints 20-19. Daniels completed 25 of 31 passes for 226 yards without an interception and rushed 11 times for 66 yards but was sacked 8 times. McLaren finished with 7 catches for 73 yards and the Commanders at 9-5 held on when a Saints 2-point conversion pass failed with no time left. Second-year quarterback Jake Hayner made his first NFL start in place of injured Derek Carr and completed 4 of 10 passes for 49 yards with an interception in one half for the Saints, who are 5-9. Now Ravens 35, Giants 14. Lamar Jackson threw for 290 yards and 5 touchdowns, including a pair of scores to Rashad Bateman, to boost the visiting Baltimore Ravens to a 35-14 win against the skating New York Giants in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Baltimore, at 9-5, stayed in the thick of the AFC playoff hunt while moving one game back of the AFC North leading Pittsburgh in the win column, with the Steelers in action later Sunday. Jackson had more TDs than incompletions, finishing 21 for 25 passing before yielding to backup Josh Johnson. Jackson added 65 yards on 6 carries to help the Ravens outgain the Giants 445 yards to 236. New York at 2-12 tied a franchise record with its 9th consecutive loss. The Giants remained winless at home this season and still are stuck in transition at quarterback. Next, Bengals 37, Titans 27. The visiting Cincinnati Bengals took advantage of 4 turnovers by the Tennessee Titans quarterback Will Levis while getting 3 touchdown passes from Joe Burrow to register a 37-27 win on Sunday. It was Burrow's 6th straight game with at least 3 touchdown passes, the 5th longest streak in NFL history. Burrow finished 26 for 37 for 271 yards with 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a lost fumble. The Bengals, at 6-8, won back-to-back games for just the 2nd time this season, while the Titans, at 3-11, lost 2 fumbles and had 2 quarterbacks who combined to throw 4 interceptions. We've already talked about the Cardinals 30 and the Patriots 17, so we'll move on to the Broncos 31, Colts 13. The Denver Broncos' defense shut out the visiting Indianapolis Colts in the 2nd half as it forced 5 turnovers and scored a touchdown in a 31-13 win on Sunday. Bo Nix completed 20 of 33 passes for 130 yards and threw 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions for Denver, who is 9-5. Anthony Richardson was 17 of 38 passing for 172 yards with a rushing touchdown and 2 interceptions for the Colts, who are 6-8. Adam Tautman, Nate Adkins, and Cortland Sutton caught touchdowns for the Broncos. Brandon Jones and Patrick Surtain II had interceptions, while Nick Bonito and DJ Jones recovered fumbles. Now, Bills 48, Lions 42. Josh Allen passed for 2 touchdowns and rushed for 2 more, and the visiting Buffalo Bills halted Detroit's franchise record 11-game winning streak with a 48-42 victory over the Lions on Sunday. Allen, who has 10 total touchdowns in the last 2 games, passed for 362 yards and rushed for 68. James Cook rushed for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Bills, who are 11-3. Jared Goff passed for 494 yards and matched his career high of 5 touchdowns for the Lions, who are 12-2. Amon-Ra St. Brown caught a touchdown pass while establishing career best of 14 passes for 193 yards. Next, Buccaneers 40, Chargers 17. Wide receiver Mike Evans notched 2 second-half touchdowns to lead visiting Tampa Bay's 40-17 rout over the offensively inept Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. The often injured Evans caught scoring passes of 57 and 35 yards as the Buccaneers outscored the Chargers 27-0 in the 2nd half. Tampa Bay at 8-6 remained atop the NFC South, with 2nd place Atlanta 6-7 set to play at Las Vegas on Monday. And finally, Eagles 27, Steelers 13. Jalen Hurts passed for 2 touchdowns and ran for 1 Sunday as the Philadelphia Eagles beat the visiting Pittsburgh Steelers 27-13 for their franchise record 10th consecutive win. Reportedly playing with a broken finger on his left non-throwing hand, Hurts completed 25 of 32 passes for 290 yards with touchdowns to A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. He ran for 45 yards and his 14th rushing touchdown of the season. The Eagles, at 12-2, leaned on a passing game that was under fire all week amid drama regarding the relationship between Hurts and Brown, who had 8 catches for 110 yards. And then on Sunday night, it was Packers 30, Seahawks 13. Jordan Love threw 2 touchdown passes to Romeo Doubs, and Josh Jacobs rushed for 94 yards and another score as the Green Bay Packers defeated the host Seattle Seahawks. The Packers, at 10-4, limited Seattle, who was 8-6, to 208 yards of total offense, forced 2 turnovers, and had 7 sacks. Love was 20 of 27 for 229 yards, with 2 TDs and no interceptions. Doubs made 3 catches for 40 yards. Doubs, who missed the previous 2 games with a concussion, made a diving catch in the back of the end zone on a 22-yard pass from Love with 4:59 remaining to clinch the victory. Seattle's Geno Smith was 15 of 19 passing for 149 yards with no touchdowns and 1 interception before suffering a right knee injury late in the third quarter. Smith's replacement, Sam Howell, was 5 of 14 for 24 yards with an interception. Jackson Smith Njigba had a game-high 10 receptions for 83 yards for the Seahawks. Seattle's lone touchdown came on a 24-yard run by Zach Charbonnet with 11:16 remaining. The drive was set up when Ernest Jones IV forced Jacobs to fumble at midfield with Julian Love recovering the ball. Then in Monday Night Football games, playoff-bound Vikings pull into NFC North tie and drop the Bears. This from Associated Press. Aaron Jones and Cam Akers had touchdown runs in the second half to complement a smothering performance by the Minnesota defense, and the Vikings move into a tie for first place in the NFC North on Monday night by beating the Chicago Bears 30-12 for their 7th consecutive victory. Justin Jefferson had 7 catches for 73 yards, among them a touchdown from Sam Darnold in the first quarter that was set up by a Jonathan Greenard's sack and forced fumble on Caleb Williams. Williams managed to keep alive his NFL rookie record streak of 286 straight passes without an interception for the 8th straight game, but the Bears, at 4-10, have lost all of those. The first overall pick in the 2024 draft went 18 for 31 for 191 yards and threw a late touchdown pass to Keenan Allen after a blocked punt gave the Bears the ball at the Minnesota 27. The Bears went 1 for 12 on third down and 1 for 3 on fourth down. Darnold went 24 for 40 for 231 yards and threw his first interception in 5 games for the Vikings, who are 12-2. Who clinched a spot in the playoffs with Seattle's loss to Green Bay the night before. They've got the division title squarely on their radar after Detroit's 11-game winning streak was stopped by Buffalo on Sunday. Wearing white helmets for the first time in franchise history to top the snow-white jerseys and pants in their now annual winter-themed home game, comfortably staged indoors, the Vikings had an energized crowd behind them after former wide receivers Chris Carter and Jake Reed took a Randy Moss jersey to midfield for the coin flip in honor of their ex-teammate who was being treated for cancer. Jefferson shouted, "We love you, Randy," after his touchdown catch. And in the other game, Falcons 15, Raiders 9, Kirk Cousins threw his first touchdown pass in 5 weeks as the Atlanta Falcons did just enough to win at struggling Las Vegas and keep pace in the NFC South race. Trying to pull off a late comeback, Raiders quarterback Desmond Ridder lofted 2 desperation passes into the end zone in the final 10 seconds. The first was incomplete, and the second was intercepted by Jesse Bates III. The Falcons ended a 4-game losing streak to remain a game behind the first-place Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Atlanta owns the head-to-head tiebreaker. Las Vegas lost its 10th consecutive game, the NFL's longest active skid, and is tied with the New York Giants for the league's worst record. It is the fifth longest skid in Raiders history and worst since dropping 16 in a row a decade ago. Cousins entered with no touchdown passes and 8 interceptions over his previous 4 starts, raising questions about whether rookie Michael Penix Jr. would take over at quarterback. Falcons coach Raheem Morris stuck by Cousins, who signed a 4-year, $180 million contract this year over the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft. Cousins did little to assuage concerns about his play, passing for just 112 yards with an interception. His 30-yard pass to a wide-open Drake London with 14 seconds left in the first quarter to put Atlanta ahead 7-0 was his first touchdown toss since firing 3 of them November 3rd in a 27-21 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. The Falcons got the rest of their scoring on 2 field goals from Younghoe Koo and a safety by defensive lineman Zach Harrison. And in college football, the 12-team playoffs begin this coming Friday. Friday's game will be number 10, Indiana, at 11-1, at number 7, Notre Dame, also 11-1. Saturday's games will be number 11, SMU, at 11-2, at number 6, Penn State, also 11-2, number 12, Clemson, at 10-3, at number 5, Texas, 11-2, and number 9, Tennessee, 10-2, at number 8, Ohio State, also 10-2. Then the quarterfinals will be December 31st and January 1st. In other bowl games, from Saturday, the Celebration Bowl, Jackson State 28, South Carolina State 7. Then the Salute to Veterans Bowl set South Alabama 30, Western Michigan 23. And tonight's game in the Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas, will be Memphis versus West Virginia. And in some miscellaneous college football news, Colorado two-way star Hunter wins Heisman. Colorado receiver cornerback Travis Hunter played an astounding 1,356 snaps this season, but doesn't feel the least bit overworked. The two-way star received the ultimate payoff Saturday night when he was named the winner of the 90th Heisman Trophy. Hunter won the coveted award over record-setting Boise State running back Ashton Giunti. Hunter was named on 93.32% of the ballots and received 552 first-place votes and 2,231 points. Giunti landed 309 first-place votes and 2,017 points. The 214-point difference is the lowest since Alabama's Mark Ingram won the award over Stanford's Toby Gerhart in 2009 in a battle of running backs. Ingram prevailed by 28 points. The difference between the top two players in college football this season is that Hunter excels on defense as well as offense. That crazy number of snaps, an average of 113 per game, doesn't faze Hunter. "I love football so much," Hunter said during the Heisman ceremony in New York. "It started at a young age, so I'm used to it. It's normal for me. I can't stop moving when I'm not on the field, so I would rather be on the field making plays." Oregon quarterback Daniel Gabriel at 516 points was third, followed by Miami quarterback Cam Ward, 229 points in fourth. Hunter joins running back Rashawn Salaam in 1994 as the only Colorado players to win the Heisman. Hunter has 92 receptions for 1,152 yards and ranks second nationally with 14 touchdown catches. On defense, he has 4 interceptions with 15 passes defensed and was named Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Hunter won the Bednarik Award as the nation's top defensive player and the Biletnikoff Award as the top receiver in the country. Hunter is in his second and final season at Colorado, as he stated that he will enter the 2025 NFL draft. After decommitting from Florida State, Hunter began his college career at Jackson State and transferred to the Buffaloes when Deion Sanders departed to become Colorado coach. Sanders posted a recruiting score for the ages when he landed Hunter at Jackson State over all the major schools. He saw a special player then and sees an even better one now. He wants to be great at everything, Sanders said. Great student, great offensive player, great defensive player, great young man. Loves the game, loves practice. Giunti is enjoying one of the top running back seasons of all time with 2,497 rushing yards and 29 touchdowns. He stands 131 yards shy of the all-time mark held by Oklahoma State's Barry Sanders with 2,628 in 1987. Sanders had 222 more in the Holiday Bowl that aren't part of his record season, as those stats didn't count at the time. I've broken a lot of records this year, but I don't think I've broken any of the records that have been around for 30-plus years, Giunti said. When I break that record, that's going to cement my name in the history books forever. Giunti has 10 touchdown runs of 50 or more yards to etch his name among the top home run threats in college football history. Players such as Sanders, Marshall Faulk of San Diego State, and LaDainian Tomlinson of TCU. Now moving over to some basketball with the NBA Phoenix Suns. This from Friday night's game. Suns 134, Jazz 126. Durant returns. Booker gets hot as Suns outlast Jazz. This by Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic from Salt Lake City. Kevin Durant returned. Devin Booker rediscovered his three-point shooting touch. And the Phoenix Suns snapped a three-game losing skid without Bradley Beal in Friday's 134-126 win over the Utah Jazz at the Delta Center. The Suns, at the time, are now 12-2 with Durant, 1-9 without him, as the superstar forward finished with 30 points in 34 minutes after missing their previous three games with a left ankle sprain suffered in last week's win over San Antonio. Booker paced the Suns with a game-high 34 points Friday, going 6 of 13 on threes after shooting 5 of 21 from distance in his previous three games. Tyus Jones delivered a double-double of 19 points and 11 assists as he knocked down 5 of 7 threes, while Royce O'Neal, who got the start for Bradley Beal, added 17 points, hitting 5 of 9 from deep. Establishing a season high in points, the Suns cashed from distance with a 22 of 45 effort before a sellout crowd of 18,175. Jordan Clarkson scored a team-high 23 off the bench for the Jazz, who at the time were 5-19, who have the second-worst record in the Western Conference. Phoenix was without Beal, a late scratch with right knee swelling. Suns coach Mike Budenholzer said Beal experienced it between Thursday and Friday morning. The Suns didn't practice Thursday, which was a travel day, but had a Friday morning shoot-around that Beal was at, but he left the shoot-around with staff earlier than the rest of the team. And on a note from Big Decisions for Budenholzer, Budenholzer talked pregame about it being a good problem to have three big men unless you have to make the decision on who to play and not to play. So with Mason Plumlee, Oso Igodoro, and Yusuf Nurkic all available, Budenholzer played all three. Igodoro was the first off the bench, but Plumlee saw action in the first half as well. It appeared Budenholzer split the backup minutes at 5 between the two in the first half. Plumlee played 6 minutes, Igodoro 5. It's doable, but there are matchups better suited for each guy. A more physical big, Plumlee should get the look. He can work the offensive boards. A smaller big, have Igodoro take on that charge. His athleticism and ability to pass comes in handy. What Budenholzer may do moving forward is play both in the first half, see how both perform, and then decide to go with one or the other in the second half, particularly if Nurkic is being effective and not in foul trouble. Plumlee got the call in the second half. He finished with a game-high 9 rebounds, so Budenholzer made the right call on going with the veteran big more than the rookie. May not be such an easy call next time. And that will put us at about our halfway point in this evening's sports today. And in Sunday's NBA Roundup, Doncic, Mavs get best of Warriors. Luka Doncic scored a game-high 45 points as part of a triple-double. Klay Thompson turned back the clock with 7 3-pointers, and the Dallas Mavericks avenged an NBA Cup loss to the Golden State Warriors with a 143-133 victory on Sunday night in San Francisco. Thompson finished with a season-best 29 points, and Kyrie Irving tossed in 21 to complement 8 assists for the Mavericks, who won for the 8th time in their past 9 games. Andrew Wiggins went for a team-high 29 points. Stephen Curry posted 26. Draymond Green added 21. And Jonathan Kuminga had 20 for the Warriors, who beat the Mavericks 120-117 on November 12th, but have won just 5 times in 14 games since. The Warriors announced before the game that they had acquired Dennis Schroeder from the Nets for D'Anthony Melton and Reese Beekman. The deal also included 4 second-round picks exchanging hands, with Brooklyn receiving 3 of them. Doncic buried a 3-pointer almost 2 minutes into the game as the Mavericks, who trailed momentarily at 3-2, pulled away from Golden State and were never caught. Dallas built a 13-point lead on the strength of a 46-point first quarter, only to see the Warriors counter with 41 points of their own in the second period to get within 81-74 at the break. Next, Pacers 119, Pelicans 104. Pascal Siakam scored a game-high 22 points, helping lead the Indiana Pacers over the visiting New Orleans Pelicans in Indianapolis. Tyrese Haliburton had 21 points and 10 assists, while Andrew Nembhard added 17 points for Indiana, which has won 3 of his last 4. Obi Toppin scored 16 off the bench, and Miles Turner chipped in 14 in the win. Brandon Boston Jr. led the Pelicans with 20 points off the bench, followed by 19 apiece from Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray. Trey Murphy III scored 16, and C.J. McCollum added 15 as New Orleans lost its 4th in a row and 13 in 14 games. Yves Messi had 9 points and a game-high 14 boards. Indiana shot 50.6% from the field, making 41 of 81 shots, including 16 of 38 from three-point range. That's at 42.1%. New Orleans finished at 39.2%, 38 of 97 from the field, and 30.3% on three-point attempts, which was 10 of 33. Leading by 17 at halftime, the Pacers saw their lead balloon to 67-44 on Turner's dunk at the 9:53 mark of the third quarter. After Siakam's triple pushed Indiana's lead to 25, Jones's layup began a 9-0 Pelican run to trim the deficit to 16. Now Celtics 112, Wizards 98. Jason Tatum collected 28 points and 12 rebounds to help the Boston Celtics earn a road victory over the Washington Wizards. Peyton Pritchard came off the bench and had 15 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists for Boston, which has won its last 7 meetings with Washington and is 3-0 against the Wizards this season. Each of the 3 victories came on the road. Boston also received 7 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists in 27 minutes from Luke Kornet. Bilo Coulibaly made the Wizards' first 3-point attempts, but they were 10 of 37 from 3-point territory after that. It was Washington's 19th loss in his last 20 games. Jordan Poole led the Wizards with 21 points. Coulibaly finished with 19 points, and Justin Champagne added 13 points and a game-high 14 rebounds. Carlton Carrington put up 11 points and 10 rebounds. It was a rough shooting night for Boston's Jaylen Brown, who was 4 of 14 from the field and 1 of 4 from the free throw line. He scored 11 points. Now, Knicks 100, Magic 91. Karl-Anthony Towns recorded his first 20-point, 20-rebound game in over 5 years on Sunday night when he lifted the visiting New York Knicks over the Orlando Magic. Towns had 22 points and 22 rebounds for his 13th career 2020 game and his first since March 23rd of 2019, when he collected 33 points and 23 boards for the Minnesota Timberwolves against the Memphis Grizzlies. Jalen Brunson scored 31 points for the Knicks, who have alternated wins and losses over their last five games. Mikal Bridges added 17 points, while Josh Hart finished with 12 for New York. Maurice Wagner scored a career-high 32 points off the bench for the Magic, who lost at home for the first time in 11 games this season. Wagner bettered his previous single-game best of 30 points set for the Washington Wizards against the Timberwolves on November 15, 2019. Tristan Da Silva, with 20 points, was the only other Magic player to score in double digits. Timberwolves 106, Spurs 92. Anthony Edwards scored 26 points in 28 minutes of court time to help lift the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves over the San Antonio Spurs on Sunday in a Western Conference game created by the results of the NBA Cup. The Timberwolves led by 15 points at halftime, but by just 6 heading into the fourth quarter. Minnesota quickly rebuilt its advantage over the first 4.5 minutes via an 11-2 run capped by a 3-point play by Nickeil Alexander-Walker. The Wolves never looked back, winning for the 6th time in its past 7 games. Alexander-Walker added 17 points in a reserve role for Minnesota, while Jaden McDaniels racked up 12 points and 11 rebounds. Julius Randle had 11 points, and Rudy Gobert scored 10. Victor Wembanyama had 20 points and 12 rebounds to lead San Antonio, which had a 2-game winning streak snapped. Jeremy Sochan added 17 points and 15 rebounds. Harrison Barnes also scored 17 points, and Julian Champagne hit for 11. Next is the Phoenix Suns, 116, Trailblazers, 109. Devin Booker had a game-high 28 points, and Phoenix rode a big fourth quarter to take down the visiting Portland Trailblazers. Despite shooting 1-for-9 from three-point range, Kevin Durant added 20 for the Suns, who were without Bradley Beal for a second straight game with a sore knee. Portland has now lost 6 in a row. All 5 starters for Portland reached double figures, led by Anfernee Simmons with 20 and 17 apiece from Jamari Grant and Danny Avdija. After trailing the entire first half and being down 57-51 at halftime, Portland started the second half with an 11-0 run that included a pair of baskets by Shedon Sharp to take its first lead. Phoenix would answer, going ahead 73-71 after back-to-back three-pointers by Tyus Jones and Booker, and carried an 83-79 lead into the fourth. And finally, Lakers 116, Grizzlies 110. Anthony Davis shrugged off an injury scare to match season best of 40 points and 16 rebounds as the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the visiting Memphis Grizzlies. Austin Reeves had 19 points and 8 assists, while LeBron James, back after missing 2 games due to a foot injury, chalked up 18 points, 8 boards, and 8 assists for Los Angeles. Jaren Jackson Jr. scored 25 points before fouling out for the Grizzlies, whose 4-game winning streak came to an end. Ja Morant had 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists, offset by 6-for-21 clip from the floor and 7 turnovers. Davis retreated to the locker room with 5:30 remaining in the third quarter after hurting his left shoulder in a collision with Memphis center Zach Edey during a rebounding contest. However, Davis returned with 9:19 left in the fourth quarter and picked up right where he left off, scoring 7 straight Lakers points soon after. James got off to a fast start, dishing out 2 assists to Davis in the opening minute of the contest before following a thunderous slam with a chase-down rejection of Desmond Bain. He then scored on a tip-in to give Los Angeles a 9-2 edge. And in some scores from Monday night's games, it was Philadelphia over Charlotte, 121-108. Detroit defeated Miami, 125-124. Cleveland topped Brooklyn, 130-101. Chicago beat Toronto, 122-121. Denver defeated Sacramento, 130-129. and the Los Angeles Clippers defeated Utah 144-107. And now on some college basketball, starting at the University of Arizona with Arizona men's basketball. UA can't bear weight of UCLA. Arizona blows lead, loses game against UCLA in Phoenix. This is by Bruce Pascoe of the Arizona Daily Star. Considering that a 13-point lead over UCLA can translate to a much bigger one against a faster-paced team, Arizona coach Tommy Lloyd had reason to feel okay midway through the second half of UA's 57-54 loss on Saturday. The Bruins, who had averaged just 65.8 points in their past five games against Arizona, trailed the Wildcats 49-36 with 10:49 to go at the Footprint Center. Insurance appeared a good idea, but maybe not mandatory. "It felt like how we wanted it to feel," Lloyd said. "I looked up at the clock and knew there was a lot of time left, and I'm hoping we can make another little run, so maybe we have a little more of a buffer to sustain a comeback from them." Instead, the Wildcats collapsed. There was no buffer and no protection of that lead. Arizona scored only 5 points the rest of the way, and it didn't hit a single field goal in the final 8:46 in what became that 3-point loss. How was that possible? Well, among the many reasons, first, they needed timeouts to avoid even more turnovers. The biggest stat in the game was probably that Arizona had 22 turnovers that led to 27 UCLA points, and Lloyd said a pair of timeouts his players called in scramble situations were quasi-turnovers. That left the Wildcats with just one timeout over that final 8:46 stretch when UCLA outscored Arizona 17-3. Lloyd didn't use that final timeout until 7 seconds remained, and UCLA's Sky Clark was going to the line to protect the Bruins' 55-54 lead. "I was just trying to see if we could save it and have it down the stretch," Lloyd said. "We used it to ice a free throw shooter, and it was an end-of-game situation, so I don't think it was a wasted situation. He made the free throws. We set up a play to try to get a three when we thought they were going to foul, and we got up a look. That look was a 3-point attempt from KJ Lewis that was well off to the right side of the basket, and a UCLA rebound sealed it. And next, they forced up too many prayers. With UCLA preventing the layers of ball movement Arizona often uses to create good looks to shoot from, the Wildcats missed all 7 field goals they tried over the final 8:46. That included 4 3-pointers, 2 from 7-footer Henry Vassar, 1 from Caleb Love, and the final try from Lewis. It was more of a direct attack type game, Lloyd said. That worked for stretches, and then it kind of went away from us at the end. I think we got a little tired, maybe, down the stretch. We took a few threes that last 3 or 4 minutes that if they make it, they look great, by the way. It just felt like we were hoping one of those threes would go in, rather than having a little more conviction on how we're going to put points up on the board. Love wasn't a go-to again. Love's missed three with 3:21 left was actually only one of 6 misses out of his 7 three-point attempts during the game. He had just 7 points on 3-for-10 overall shooting to continue what has pretty much been a season-long slump. Over 9 games so far, Love is leading the Wildcats in scoring with an average of 13.3 points, but is shooting only 36.6% overall and 27.9% from three-point range. Last season, Love averaged 18 points while shooting 41.3% and 33.2% from the three. "Caleb gives us a really high ceiling, and the teams have been playing him well," Lloyd said. "This hasn't come easy for him either. We've got to figure out why. What can we do to help him? Is it just hanging with it, hanging with it, hanging with it, hanging with it, supporting him, and then it's going to figure itself out? Or are there tactical things we need to do different?" Next, a nightmare character reappeared. If there was any more painful memory for the Wildcats in their 83-80 upset loss at Oregon State last season, besides the game-winning three that Jordan Pope threw in at the buzzer, it was the 22 points that then-Beaver big man Tyler Bilodeau scored, including the 3 of 4 three-pointers he made with barely a defender in sight. This time in a baby blue UCLA uniform, Bilodeau burned the Wildcats from inside the arc in the final 9 minutes. He had layups with 8:18 and 6:29 to go, a jumper with 5:39 left, and a hook with 1:42 left that gave UCLA a 55-52 lead that proved to be all the Bruins needed. Held to just 5 points in the first half, Bilodeau finished with 17. UCLA coach Mick Cronin said he talked to the Bruins about getting him the ball more, instead of them taking an ill-advised shot, which he said even Bilodeau did once. "That was a big key once we did it," Cronin said. "You've got to get him the ball. We've got to try to run offense. And when you have a guy that can get something easy, that's who you should get it to, instead of making a dribble routine to a hard shot." And finally, the warnings didn't help. The Wildcats knew all about UCLA's defense and the fact that the Bruins had the nation's best defensive turnover ratio entering the game. UCLA's first 9 opponents turned the ball over on 27% of their possessions. On Saturday, Arizona turned it over on 35.4% of its possessions. "Our defense picked up, and we were able to start creating some turnovers," Cronin said. "That was the difference in the game." Overall, it was a long 9 minutes that will look even longer when Lloyd and his staff review it on video. "I'm sure I'm going to go back and look at that thing, and there's going to be some coaching miscues. There's going to be some situations," Lloyd said. "I wish the players were just a little bit tougher, but all in all, I think the most important thing is I know this is a cliche, but we gotta hang together. We gotta hang together because it's tough. We can't splinter." Their next game will be Wednesday at home against Samford. And over at the women's side at the University of Arizona, Arizona wins 87-66 in last non-conference game against Weber State. In a commanding display at McHale Center, Arizona women's basketball powered past Weber State 87-66 on Monday night. Career performances from multiple Wildcats highlighted the evening in their final non-conference matchup. Jada Williams led the charge with a career-high 24 points, including 4 three-pointers and a career-best 7 assists. She also added 4 steals to her all-around performance. Sanaya Ja recorded her first career double-double with a career-high 22 points and 10 rebounds while knocking down 3 triples. Paulina Paris contributed 12 points and 4 steals, while Maylene Roth set a personal best with 11 points on a perfect 5-for-5 shooting night. Up next, Arizona women hit the road to face BYU for its conference opener in Provo, Utah, on Saturday, December 21st at 6 p.m. And over at ASU men's basketball, Clayton Jr. in Florida down ASU improved to 10-0. Walter Clayton Jr. scored 25 points, and unbeaten number 9 Florida rode early 3-point shooting to knock off Arizona State 83-66 in a holiday hoops-giving game in Atlanta on Saturday afternoon. Will Richard added 16 points and Elijah Martin at 15 as the Gators, who were 10-0, tied the second-best start in program history. They also went 10-0 in 1951-52. Adam Miller led the Sun Devils, who are 8-2, with 18 points, and Jay Quaintance netted 14 to go with 8 rebounds and 4 steals. Bashir Jihad chipped in 13 points. Down 9 points after the break, Arizona State moved back to within 8 when Miller hit a 3-pointer 2 minutes into the second half. But Clayton hit a tray to start a 7-0 run, and a later Gators 11-0 run with 5 players contributing points pushed the lead to 24. Florida shot 47.8% from the field and 10 of 30 on three-pointers, making the 6th time in its last 7 games that the team has hit double figures in trays. The Gators survived a 14-turnover game in part by out-rebounding the Sun Devils 47-27. Arizona State made 37.1% of its shots and 7 of 25 from long range. Florida built a 41-32 lead at halftime thanks largely to its three-point shooting. The Gators trailed by two after about the first 4 minutes before Clayton and Richard fueled a 16-2 run. Martin hit a tray and Richard nailed two to get the burst started. Clayton picked up assists on the first two, and his block on the defensive end led to the third on a fast break. He then netted a three-pointer of his own to push Florida's lead to 10 at 18-8. Sean Phillips Jr.'s dunk interrupted the run, but Sam Alexis dunked and Richard added a fast break layup for a 22-10 lead with 11:31 left in the play in the first half. Clayton and Richard scored 12 points apiece in the half, while Quaintance led Arizona State with 8. Their next game will be this coming Saturday, December 21st, against UMass in Springfield, Massachusetts. And on Sunday, the Lady Sun Devils were at UC Davis, where they lost 57-50. Their next game will be December 17th tonight at San Francisco in San Francisco, California. And over at GCU, Georgia holds off pesky GCU at Atlanta tourney in the men's department. Asa Newell scored a game-high 17 points as Georgia ground out a 73-68 win over Grand Canyon at the Holiday Hoopsgiving event in Atlanta on Saturday to continue its best start since the 2001-2 season. Somto Sybil scored 12 points and had 8 rebounds. The 6'11 freshman, a 4-star recruit out of Overtime Elite in Atlanta, had 5 dunks. Tyron Lawrence and Blue Kane added 10 points apiece for Georgia. Ray Harrison led Grand Canyon with 16 points. Tyron Grant Foster had 11 points. Cook Ware had 11 points and 9 rebounds. And Duke Brennan chipped in 10 points. And then Monday night at Louisiana Tech, Tripp ends with another so-close rally. Grand Canyon could not come all the way back from a double-digit deficit for the second time on the road trip, returning the Lopes to the Valley in need of a comeback that is stronger than the setback. Mired in another difficult perimeter shooting night, the Lopes climbed out of a 13-point hole Monday night at Louisiana Tech, close enough to see daylight before missing the final necessary shots again. The Bulldogs, at 10-2, staved off the rally by scoring on their final three possessions for a 74-66 win at Thomas Assembly Center. GCU, at 6-4, missed its final four shots, all from three-point range, to finish 6-27 on threes. Their next game is Thursday night at home against Chicago State. The GCU women continued their winning ways with a win over Westcliff on Saturday, 90-31. Their next game will be Wednesday versus Wright State at Global Credit Union Arena. And up at NAU, the men lost their game over the weekend Saturday at Pepperdine, 86-76. Their next game will be this coming Saturday, December 21st, at Southern Utah. While the NAU women won their game on Saturday over San Francisco at home, 92-83, their next game is Thursday at Fresno State. And finally, in women's volleyball over the University of Arizona, UA Volleyball to host championship match. After advancing to the championship round of the NIVC, Arizona Volleyball gets to host the match on its home turf at McHale Center tonight. The Wildcats at 23-9 will take on Bowling Green 25-9 at 6 p.m. On Thursday last week, the Wildcats beat Northern Colorado 3-1, 25-20, 27-25, 13-25, and 25-18 to secure a spot in the championship match. UA head coach Sherita Stubbs said after the game that she hopes to pack the stands on Tuesday. And with the time I have left, I will run down the standings in first the NFL and then the NBA. In the NFL AFC East, Buffalo Bills are on top at 11-3, followed by Miami Dolphins 6-8, New York Jets 4-10, and New England Patriots 3-11. In the AFC North, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at 10-4, followed by the Baltimore Ravens at 9-5, Cincinnati Bengals 6-8, Cleveland Browns 3-11, and in the AFC South is Houston Texans at 9-5, Indianapolis Colts at 6-8, Jacksonville Jaguars 3-11, along with the Tennessee Titans also 3-11. In the AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs at 13-1, The Denver Broncos are at 9-5, LA Chargers 8-6, and the Las Vegas Raiders 2-12. In the NFC East, Philadelphia Eagles are at 12-2, followed by Washington Commanders 9-5, Dallas 6-8, New York Giants 2-12. The NFC North, Detroit Lions and Minnesota Vikings are tied at 12-2, followed by the Green Bay Packers at 10-4, Chicago Bears at 4-10. The NFC South, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at 8-6, Atlanta Falcons 7-7, New Orleans is 5-9, and Carolina Panthers 3-11. And in the NFC West, the LA Rams and Seattle Seahawks are tied at 8-6, followed by the Arizona Cardinals 7-7, and San Francisco 49ers at 6-8. And in the NBA Eastern Conference Atlantic Division, Boston is at 21-5, New York 16-10, Brooklyn 10-16, Philadelphia 8-16, Toronto 7-20. In the Southeast, Orlando is at 17-11, Miami 13-11, Atlanta 14-13, Charlotte 7-19, Washington 3-21. In the Central, Cleveland is at 23-4, Milwaukee 14-11, Indiana 12-15, Chicago 12-15, and Detroit 11-16. In the Western Conference Southwest, Memphis is at 18-9, followed by Houston and Dallas at 17-9, San Antonio 13-13, New Orleans 5-21. In the Northwest, Oklahoma City 20-5, Denver 13-10, Minnesota 14-11, Portland 8-18, Utah 5-19. And in the Pacific, Phoenix and Golden State are tied at 14-11, LA Clippers and LA Lakers are 14-12, and Sacramento 13-13. And that's going to wrap up tonight's edition of Sports Today for Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. I'm Russ Werner, tonight's host of Sports Today and a volunteer leader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a good evening and stay tuned for more. Don't forget, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then under Programming Links, left click on Demand Podcast. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.